Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Perhaps one of the most significant battles that we have as Christians is to control our words, control what comes out of our mouth. Our desire ought to be that our words are acceptable. As the psalm says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable." We ought to be seeking to use acceptable language to the Lord. And that's somewhat of a difficult thing. It's a battle to make our words acceptable to the Lord. I was thinking about that way back when I was in the military, when I went into boot camp. For the first time in my life, I found myself surrounded by people who were using vulgar language 24 hours a day. Well, I was surrounded by them 24 hours a day, and they were using vulgar language almost all of our waking hours. That was in boot camp. Not only the soldiers or the airmen who were along with me, but also the leaders. The drill sergeant, of course, they're known for their vulgar language and their stern language oftentimes. And then after that, I went to tech school, and once again, I'm surrounded by people, both in leadership and the other guys who are my peers, using vulgar language virtually all the time. And when you're in a setting like that, you just start thinking, you start hopefully not using that kind of language, but it's easy to begin thinking in those same terms. You hear it over and over and over again, and slowly but surely you sort of adopt, or the tendency, the temptation is to start adopting that same kind of language. And so it's a struggle. I'm not sure if you are in a situation like that, perhaps hopefully not in your home, but maybe with friends and family, maybe with coworkers, maybe just out there in the world, you are with people or you hear language that you'd rather not hear, that's vulgar, that's profane. And if you're not careful, you pick up that habit of using bad language. Well, Christians ought not to use bad language. In fact, one of the things that ought to distinguish us from everybody else out there is the fact that we use decent language and not depraved language. We don't use vulgarity. We don't use profanity. That kind of thing does not come out of our mouth. We may not be necessarily grammatically correct in everything that we say, but we ought to be morally correct in what we say. We ought to have strong convictions about using proper language and avoiding sinful language. We ought not compromise on the words that come out of our mouths. The Bible, you probably know, has a lot to say about speech. The Bible says many things about speech in different parts of the Bible. The Psalms tell us quite a bit about speech. We'll be looking at several verses from the Psalms. Proverbs, likewise, says a lot about speech. The prophets say a lot about speech. The New Testament says a lot about speech. Jesus said a lot about speech. So if we were to survey everything the Bible says about speech, we'd be here for a long time. I've kind of condensed and summarized some of those things. We'll be looking at many passages that deal with this topic. Some of us perhaps struggle to control our speech. For some people, let's say a person has just newly been saved, he might struggle with vulgarity. If he's lived a long life of using bad words, well, to struggle to control that and to not say those words might be difficult. Others of us who've been saved for many years, it might not be vulgarity or profanity that comes out of our mouth, but maybe it's more like criticism or insults or complaining. It's not so much vulgarity or profanity, it's other forms of language that is offensive to people. And so there may be those who don't struggle with vulgarity or profanity, but they still struggle with other things that comes out of their mouth that is not honoring to the Lord. Well, today, let's consider some biblical convictions we should have about our words and our language. First of all, control your tongue. James chapter 3, which Devin just read a minute ago, details some things about controlling your tongue. In fact, James 3:2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So to offend, in many things we offend all. The word means to stumble or to fall, to make an error, to make a mistake. Our words can easily cause offenses with other people. Maybe somebody has told you that your speech or language to them has been offensive. And even if they don't tell you that, it could be that some of the things that we say, other people find offensive. That is, they stumble by what we have said. Much of the conflict and the hurt feelings that we experience or that others experience because of us is because of our words, because of the language, because of what we say to other people that is offensive. And James goes on to say, whoever can avoid causing offenses by your words, he says, is a perfect man. Now, the word perfect in the King James doesn't necessarily, well, usually does not mean sinless. It means mature. The word is perfect in the sense of fully grown or mature, spiritually mature, spiritually an adult. And so we need to be spiritually mature. If we are spiritually mature, we'll be able to control our tongues. James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, this one's religion is useless. So the expectation is that we bridle our tongue. Sometimes we think certain things. Things come into our mind, but we have to be careful not to say what we think, because if we say it, we will be offensive. We will cause offenses. We will cause hurts. We will cause others to be hurt in one way or the other simply by the words that we say. We need to bridle the tongue, control the tongue. So if you can do that, it's a sign of spiritual maturity. James says the tongue is a little member of the body, but it does great things. And so those great things might be good in the beneficial sense. They might be big in the negative sense as well. And so we need to bridle that tongue. And if you can do that, then that's a sign of a mature spiritual person. In fact, James kind of goes back and forth. He says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But then he says, bridle your tongue. So it's hard, it's difficult, especially for people who have a little bit of, well, they're sharp. You know, people who are sharp and can respond to things quickly. They have a word to say. They have something to say. They have a quick comeback, a quick response. Well, it's easier for people like that to offend with their tongue, with their words, because they know what to say. If somebody insults them, they have an insult ready to go back again toward that person. So we need to control that tongue to bridle it. If you can't control your tongue, it's a reflection of a lack of self-control. It's a lack of spiritual maturity if we can't control our tongue. So the tongue is a small member of the body, but we must bridle it because it has great power. And so guard your tongue. The Bible tells us in Psalm 17:3, I've purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And notice in these verses it talks about how the individual, ourselves, we ourselves need to take control of this thing. The tongue can no man tame, and yet we are supposed to bridle it, control it. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Psalm 39:1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. You know, he's speaking metaphorically. He's not saying you actually have to put a muzzle over your mouth. But that's the idea. We need to control ourselves, put a muzzle, as it were, over our mouth if we are prone to speak offensive words. Ecclesiastes 5:6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Well, that can happen sometimes too, when our language causes further sin for ourselves and for others. So the responsibility is with us, with the individual, to control ourselves. Put a muzzle, put a bridle on your tongue if you are given to, or if you are commonly offending others with your mouth. When you restrain your tongue, you will be slow to speak. As it says in James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I think I've told the story before. It just occurred to me now. I had a friend named Joe, again, going back to the military, and he invited me over to his house one time. And Joe just sat there and talked with me and basically complained about his life for about 15 minutes straight. All I did was say, is that right? Uh-huh, yeah, right, okay. And after about 10 minutes of this, I started just thinking to myself, maybe I can show Joe, maybe give him a hint that, you know, we ought to have a conversation instead of him just lecturing me. So I started looking at my watch, you know, looking at him and looking at my watch, you know, looking up at the ceiling and stuff like that. Well, eventually, after about 15 minutes of him just talking and talking and talking and complaining about things, he eventually, I think, got around to saying, and how are things with you? You know, have you ever talked with people who, what they really want to do is complain to you and talk to you? Well, that verse, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. It's often helpful if we inquire about the other person. And if you want to have a conversation, you know, have a back and forth regarding things that are going on and not just, you know, use that other person to complain. It's often better to remain quiet instead of talking. I'd like us to look at a verse in Proverbs. If you want to hold your place there in James, you could. But in Proverbs 17, there's an interesting verse, a couple of verses that talk about restraining your tongue. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. Yes, this is just good wisdom, good knowledge here. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So the encouragement there is to keep your mouth shut. Even a wise man, he that hath knowledge, spares his words. You would think that a person with knowledge would be very, you know, very forthcoming with his words. He'd say a lot of things. But according to this biblical knowledge, when you have knowledge, you spare your words. You hold your peace. Shut your lips. You'll be esteemed a man of understanding. So that's how we control ourselves. Sometimes we are given to just verbal blabbering, talking. One of my, my nephew's sons. Well, the nephew in mind only has one son. He has two kids, one son, and he's almost 4 years old, going on four. And that little boy is a chatterbox, blabbermouth, blah, 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 blah. Seems like he just found his voice or something because he just wanted to talk. He had a great time this weekend when we were up there. But talk about a kid who loves to talk. Well, you know, we all know people who love to talk. And the biblical instruction is to be careful about that and to be controlling. We need to control our tongues and perhaps speak less than what we would be used to. Let's go on to number two, is tell the truth. Tell the truth. Another thing about our words, they ought to be truthful. Perhaps the most significant command regarding our words is that they be honest, that we tell the truth. Of course, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That is, don't tell lies, and particularly bearing false witnesses in a court of law. We don't testify falsely. We don't lie in a situation where we ought to be telling the truth. A lie, of course, is a statement intending to deceive. Either we say something is true when it's false, or say something false when it's true. And so if we are trying to deceive somebody, then we are violating this command. The command not to lie means that we have to be honest. We should tell the truth. Zechariah 8:16, speak each man the truth with his neighbor. Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. And so one of the qualities of our words is that they ought to be truthful. We ought to be speaking what is true. Sometimes we have to use a little tact and diplomacy. That is, sometimes, as they say, the truth hurts. Sometimes we have to speak the truth in a way that might hurt, but sometimes we can speak the truth in a way that doesn't hurt. So we have to be careful with our words not to hurt people, even if we're speaking the truth. Then we ought to employ quality words, good quality words. The Bible mentions several different kinds or categories of words that we ought to be pursuing with our language. First of all, acceptable words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Likewise, Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. And this word acceptable literally means pleasurable or delightful, good or favorable. Sometimes we see the word acceptable, let the words of my mouth be acceptable. We think of tolerable. Okay, they're acceptable. They're okay. I will accept that. Tolerable. But the word doesn't really mean tolerable in that sense. The word means good or favorable. I remember years ago when I was a kid back at home playing hockey, and I was pretty young at that time, and not very spiritual as a young teenage kid. And I remember with my hockey team, and with other of my friends, they would curse and use vulgar language. And I was a Christian. I knew that I couldn't use that kind of language. But I kind of felt like I wanted to say something. I wanted to curse like everybody else was cursing. So I decided I would try to find a word that I could use that was a little bit vulgar, maybe not too bad, but not profane, really, not a sin, but a word that I could use to curse when something bad happened. You know, if somebody scored a goal on us, or we got hurt, or, you know, whatever. Whenever you want to really curse, all the other guys were using really vulgarities, and I wanted to say something too. So I came up with a word. I won't tell you what it is, but I decided I could use that word because it was not too bad. In my mind, as a, you know, young teenage doofus, it was good enough. It wasn't, you know, good. It wasn't terribly sinful, but it was okay. It was acceptable to me as a kind of a swear word, kind of a substitute swear word that I could use, and I could kind of curse with all the other guys. Eventually, I recognized that that was not appropriate. I quit doing that. But to me, acceptable. That was acceptable. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't good necessarily, but it was acceptable, at least in my mind. Well, when it says, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable, it doesn't mean just tolerable. It doesn't mean, well, it's okay, I guess. It means good. It means favorable. It means pleasant. That's the kind of language we ought to be using. And then edifying or gracious, edifying and gracious, Ephesians 4:29 tells us that communication ought to be good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Of course, to edify is to build up, to encourage, to lift up. And so we want to use words that edify, to minister grace. The word minister there is literally give, to give grace to the individual, to give kindness, to show compassion, to lift up that individual, to show kindness to the person. Edifying and gracious. Life-giving is another one, Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Have you ever spoken to somebody and it just seems like they have encouraged you to the degree that it's like a cold drink on a hot day that just refreshes you? Some people are like that. I've talked to people like that in the past. How about Proverbs 15:4? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So our speech ought to be like a well or a tree of life, life-giving, encouraging, lifting up. Pleasant is another one. Proverbs 15:26, the words of the pure are pleasant words. And again, this word means kind, beautiful, delightful, favorable. Would anybody ever accuse you of using kind, favorable, delightful words? When you talk to somebody, they find your conversation with them delightful, pleasant. Then there's wise or learned, seasonable, suitable, proper. Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Just the right word at just the right time. To me, that's a thing of God. When you come along or somebody comes along with just the right word at just the right time, I can't do that of myself. I can't just sort of generate and find what is the proper word at the proper time. That's where you just have to trust God and speak what you believe the Lord puts on your heart. Because we oftentimes don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything to a person who's suffering. You just got to be there for that person. But to say the right word at the right time. Luke 21:15, I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries should not be able to gainsay nor resist. Wisdom. So we ought to be trying to use wisdom as we speak to people. Our words should reflect biblical learning and wisdom. So what we know about the Bible, in fact, that's what really people need, is biblical wisdom. When you're approaching a problem, they have a difficulty, they have an issue that you're trying to settle or trying to help them with, what do you give them? Just whatever happens to be, you know, floating around in your mind? No, you give them biblical wisdom, biblical counseling. That's really what biblical counseling is just showing the person what the Bible says about the issue at hand. So tell them what the Bible says. Tell them what God says about their problem. That's biblical counsel. That's learned or wise counsel. And then thankful. We ought to be thankful, express our thanks. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Tactful, we might say. Tactful is another one. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How to answer other people. You know, speak, as he says here, seasoned with salt, with grace, knowing how to answer. Some people, of course, are sincere when they're talking with you. They want to know answers, let's say, to biblical questions, or they have issues in their life. They are sincerely seeking input from you. And that's You know, that's when you give them the Bible. That's when you tell them what God says. Other people are skeptical. They're critical. They're controversial. They're scorners. They're not really seeking after the truth. They're just engaging you in a conflict, a verbal conflict. I've seen street preachers where people are gathered around them, shouting at them, shouting vulgarities, in conflict with them, denying everything that they're saying, and yet the street preacher is just very calm. He's positive. He's not responding in the same way that he's being attacked. That's a very difficult thing, especially when you have a crowd of people who are converging upon you and attacking you for your words. And yet sometimes that's how we need to be. We need to be tactful, answering people with wisdom, answering with the Bible. Comfort giving is another one. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another with these words. And these words are speaking about the second coming of Christ. And so we use biblical words to bring comfort. That's what people, again, need in a time of questioning, in a time of conflict, when things are going wrong. What they need to hear is what God says. Give them comforting words, biblical words. And then sound and healthy words. Titus 2:8, sound speech which cannot be condemned. Sound, in this case, means healthy or wholesome. Wholesome words. That's what I mean. We speak words that are not vulgar. They're not profane. They're not irreverent. They're wholesome. And most of us understand, we recognize wholesome language. That ought to really characterize the kind of words that we use. He says this sound speech cannot be condemned. Nobody is going to complain about your language if you use wholesome speech. And so we have to be very careful about the kind of language that we use. Our words should be positive, should be uplifting, edifying, encouraging, pleasant. Our words should strive to follow the patterns and the principles that we find in the Bible. Then there are words to avoid. There are certain words in the Bible or kinds of words or categories of language that we ought to avoid. First of all, destructive words. Words can be destructive. Job 19:2 says, "How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with your words?" Maybe that reminds you of the old children's saying, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, do words hurt? Maybe not physically, but certainly we can hurt others, and other people hurt us with their words. Like Job says, "You break me in pieces with your words." Proverbs 11, verse 9 says, "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor." Proverbs 11:11, "The city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." Psalm 55:21, "His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." Psalm 57:4, "Their teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongues are a sharp sword." Psalm 64:3, "They sharpen their tongue like a sword. They bend their bow to shoot their arrows, bitter words." Psalm 140:3, "They sharpen their tongue like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips." James 3 likens the tongue or the power of the tongue to a spark that can set a whole forest ablaze. And we probably can think of occasions that we're aware of where just the words of an individual created a huge conflagration. And lots of problems is what I mean for other people. And so before we say anything or write anything, we ought to consider what the outcome, the result is going to be. Today, of course, we've got to be concerned not only with what we say, you know, what comes out of our mouth, but also what comes out of our fingertips. Because many of us are on email or maybe on social media. And you know how easy it is, or maybe you've seen, I've certainly seen, how people can be very insulting. Very profane, very ungodly with the things that they type. I think it's easy to type out something. You would never say it to a person's face, but people will type it out and put it on social media. And so we need to be really careful that we don't do that. Just as much as we control our tongue and the words that come out of our mouth, we also need to control what we're typing, because it's pretty easy just to put in a little dig, just a little insult, a little criticism, something that's really not helpful. Sometimes those things are necessary, but we have to be very careful about the kind of language that we use when we're writing emails and writing things on social media. Tattletale is another. We don't want to destroy. We also don't want to be a tattletale. Proverbs 18:8, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. So we all have to sometimes deal with children who are tattletales, and we need to control that kind of behavior. And likewise, being gossipy or busybodies. 1 Timothy 5:13, some learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not to say. 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a busybody in other people's matters. I think I've heard it said, and I think it's true, if you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, then it's probably none of your business. And we should not be talking about or conversing about things that are not our business. Sometimes we are part of the problem, and we do need to talk about it. Sometimes we are part of the solution. I get drawn into certain debates and conflicts, and I try to be part of the solution. So I have to talk with people about these issues. But oftentimes, it's best not to get involved if it's not your business. We need to be careful of that. Defiling language we need to avoid. Matthew 15, 10 and 11, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man. The real problem is what we are saying, not the food that comes into us, but the language that comes out of our mouth. And then there's, of course, what I've been talking about, profane or vulgar, coarse, filthy or irreverent language. Obviously, this kind of thing should not come out of the mouth of any Christian, but it is very common in our world today. Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain emptily, or in an empty manner, where we're invoking God or talking about God in a way that is not serious or not meaningful. We don't take God's name in vain. We certainly don't use God's name as a curse or an oath in the negative sense. Ephesians 5, 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. I was at a camp many years ago when I was a kid, and there was a pastor who had brought his church people to that camp, and he told a vulgar, coarse joke. I could hardly believe it, this pastor of the church telling essentially a dirty joke. And there were other people there at the camp, in fact, some of the people that I worked with, fellow Christians as far as I know, but they were using vulgar, coarse language. There was a pastor a few years ago who's known as the cursing pastor. They want to, I guess, identify with a common person in the street, so they use vulgar, kind of profane language. Well, obviously that is not appropriate. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt there means rotten, decaying, putrefied, bad or unfit for use, worthless. So most of us in our society, we recognize what is bad, putrid, ungodly speech. Okay, what kind of speech are you talking about? Well, we all know vulgarity, profanity, the kind of speech that should not come out of our mouths. Sadly, that kind of language is increasingly common in our culture today. Today we have people of prominence. We have the president who's got a vulgar mouth. We've got people in Congress. We've got people in athletes, of course, have always, it seems like, had vulgar mouths. But it seems like it's more and more acceptable in our world today. And some Christians, I think, are sort of latching on to that and saying, okay, I guess it's acceptable to use this kind of either barnyard language or irreverent language, language that we just shouldn't, you know, we don't use that kind of language. Those are the kinds of things we need to stay away from. We should not speak irreverently. And this is where sometimes Christians think that it's okay to maybe make jokes about God. I frankly don't like to hear jokes about God. Joking about sacred things, we should speak about sacred things in sacred terms. God is holy. I don't think it's proper to make jokes about God. So we don't want to be guilty of irreverence or filthiness or coarse joking and jesting or profanity or vulgarity. And then there's the word blasphemous. Blasphemous words also should not come out of our mouths. Colossians 3:8, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. The word blasphemy simply means to speak evil of, to blaspheme someone, is to speak evil of him. Oftentimes we think of blasphemy as applied to God. We know that the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay, so maybe blasphemy only has to do with our language towards God, but that's not true, really, because the word blasphemy can apply to others, anyone, really. Titus 3:2 says, speak evil of, there's the blasphemy word, blasphemeo, speak evil of no one. Don't blaspheme anyone. Don't speak evil in that sense of anyone. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another. He doesn't use the word blasphemy. He uses another word there. But whether we use blasphemy or a different word, don't speak evil, it says, of one another. Now, I don't think he means that we can't criticize or bring up a fault or a failure. Oftentimes, you know, the Bible does say, if your brother offends you, go to that person and try to work out your conflict. So there may be times that we do talk about people or we speak to people in ways that might be somewhat difficult. To speak evil of another, to criticize somebody, you know, I think that's possible. But I think what he's really talking about here is slander. Not necessarily just pointing out somebody's faults, but defaming somebody by your words. Slander is the act of making a false and defamatory statement about someone, damaging one's reputation through spoken words. So slander in the sense of dragging somebody down, defaming that person, and thus ruining or sullying his reputation. And you know, you can get in big trouble for slander, saying things that are untrue about somebody in the sense of trying to ruin that person's reputation. My understanding, it's not a criminal offense, but it could be a civil offense, and you could be sued, you could be taken to court for slanderous words against other people. In fact, that has happened recently in our culture. It happens all the time. And then contradictory or inconsistent statements as well. According to James 3:9 through 12, it's inconsistent to bless God and curse people made in the image of God. We bless God with on one side of our mouth or one side of our tongue and curse people who are made in the image of God. Well, we shouldn't do that. That's inconsistent. That is contradictory. So we want to avoid or stop these forms of corrupt and inappropriate and offensive language. However, we also recognize there are times when we have to be somewhat harsh or sometimes severe in the use of our language. We find that as a pattern in the Bible as well. Sometimes the prophets, as they speak about Israel getting into idolatry, or as they speak about the pagans, some of the prophets use some fairly harsh language against the enemies of God. Sometimes Jesus' words are fairly harsh and condemnatory. For example, Matthew 23:17, fools and blind, Jesus said to some of his opponents. Matthew 23:24, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Matthew 23:33, serpents, brood of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? So these are words that Jesus spoke to his opponents, the enemies of God. We know that sometimes, you know, Jesus was fairly stern and severe, like when he made a whip and threw all those people out of the temple. So we're not saying that you can't be sometimes a little bit harsh and severe with your language. Some of the New Testament authors like Paul and like Peter and Jude use language that is fairly sharp, fairly pointed if you read their books. So under the right conditions and for the right purposes, we may use language that is appropriate to that context when we're fighting for the faith. That is, we are contending for the faith. We are perhaps interacting with cultists or skeptics, people who need to know, they need to repent of their sin, they need to stop teaching lies, and they need to adopt what the Bible says. Sometimes we can be fairly sharp or harsh with those people. And I think I've told stories about different people that I've interacted with, especially cultists over the years. When a Mormon is at your door and you want to engage him in conversation, I think you can be fairly, you know, straight with that person to tell him what you think of Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witnesses. You can put a skeptic in his place. You can use some language that's a little bit more severe, maybe even harsh than what you normally would use. I don't think we're ever vulgar. I'm not saying that we're vulgar or profane in our language ever. But I think there are times when you might use some language that you wouldn't normally use. A tone of voice or an approach to a person that it's not compassionate and loving and kind, because that person needs to be confronted with a sin and the error of his way. And you have to be somewhat of a judge on that. Do I approach this person with love and compassion and kindness? Or Are we past that now? And now this person needs to repent. Now this person needs to be faced with the judgment of God against his sin. Well, you're going to have to determine which is the best approach there. But against the cultist, against the atheist, against the skeptic, sometimes we use language that is a bit more harsh and severe. And then just a couple other miscellaneous hints about the use of our words and language. The tongue, as we've already said, is very powerful. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, most of us don't have that power like an ancient emperor would have. Off with his head. This one lives, this one dies. We don't have that power. But still, we have, in a certain sense, life and death in the power of the tongue. What we say can be very influential. What we say can lift up, it can edify, it can help, it can heal, or it can cut. Sticks and stones may break our bones, and words do hurt us. Like Job said, you're smashing me with your words. And so we need to be very careful because the tongue is very powerful. Use the power of your tongue for good purposes, to encourage, to lift up, to edify, to bring comfort. And then words reveal what's in our hearts. Matthew 12, 34 and 35, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So have you ever wondered why some people are so profane and vulgar? All they speak is irreverent and trashy, filthy things. That's what comes out of their mouth all the time. Well, that's because that's what's in their heart. They're an unregenerate heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that desperately wicked nature that's within them, that unregenerate soul, is producing all that vulgarity, all that profanity. And we know something. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. So we can generally have an intuition about what that person's spiritual condition is simply by the words that they use. And so out of that treasure house is what's coming forth. If someone were to listen to all the words that you say in the course of a few days, what would they conclude about your heart? Would they say the language that you use over the course of, let's say, a few days or a week shows you to be a good person? Out of the good treasure, good things come forth. This person is using good language. They're edifying, they're compassionate, they're kind, they're encouraging. And that shows a Christian viewpoint. That shows a soul that knows the Lord. Or if someone were to listen to your language over the course of several days, would they say, boy, that person's insulting, that person's critical, that person's vulgar, that person's profane. And so it seems like the soul of that individual doesn't know the Lord. Probably most of us, hopefully, we're more the good treasure, good things coming out of our mouth. But there may be times, you know, like James says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. And most of us probably would have to say, yeah, sometimes I do produce good things. Hopefully most of the times I'm producing good things. But occasionally, something slips out that's not so good. And so James would tell us, bridle your tongue, bite your tongue, put that muzzle on your mouth so that you don't say the thing that would be offensive, because the words can hurt. So the Bible says a lot about our words. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Boy, that's pretty significant. Our words are going to show that we're justified, or our words are going to show that we're condemned, we're unsaved. So the words that we use are very significant. Although it's sometimes necessary to be stern and severe in our language, it's never acceptable to be vulgar or coarse or profane or filthy. It's in our own best interest to control our tongue. We want to use language that is acceptable. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. They want to be good, favorable, positive. We want to use language that does not offend or destroy. Our words should build up, encourage, and comfort. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Muzzle it. Don't allow it out. You may think it, perhaps. It may be in your heart. Don't allow it to escape your mouth. Instead, use that which is good to edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And our prayer always should be, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, let's pray.